Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We are living in an epidemic of anger. Examine your heart and see just how much anger is there. Look around us and see how much anger you see. Our Lord said this would happen. He said, at the last, the love of many will grow cold. It seems to be so even in the church as well, among those of Christ's flock. But this is nothing new. The whole section of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 in particular, is about offense, avoiding sin, those of the flock who get lost, and how Christians are supposed to help each other reconcile with each other, and thus with the church, and also then with God. Jesus knows that these things happen. Jesus teaches these things because he knew what was in man, the rotten, sinful nature, and what it does on its own. Even before the devil and the world lay their traps for Christians, their sinful hearts lead them in ways of anger and ingratitude. Anger is one of those things that just pops up in your mind. It just happens. Now, there is such a thing as righteous anger. We heard about it in the king's righteous anger and punishment in our text. But for the sake of the rest of the lesson of the scripture, we're not talking about righteous anger. We're going to talk about sinful anger today. Offense, anger. Jesus says to be angry with your brother, he says this in the Sermon on the Mount, to be angry with your brother is to murder him already in your heart. Things like anger, which happens just like that, are a good proof of the corruption of the sinful nature at work in all people, including Christians. For through discipline and self-control, it can train someone to not act out on their anger, but it cannot stop the first formation of it. This is why it's absurd to think that you can manage to fix yourself or make yourself perfect in this life, especially in regards to anger. That yes, discipline yourself, and yes, develop self-control, pray to God for such gifts from the Spirit. But realize that anger's first beginnings are rooted in something that you cannot amend in this life. The sinful flesh, original sin within you. Peter, he thinks that in this gospel lesson we have this morning, he thinks he's being charitable. He's being generous by mentioning seven times to forgive someone who sins or wrongs him. By the world's standard, that would not only be generous, but it would also be considered foolish. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, we think. But the world's wisdom does not compare, however, to the words of Christ. Christ's word is that you forgive. Yes, he adds a number, 77 or 70 times 7, whatever way you want to go with the translation. But Jesus' point is that you forgive always. To get the point across, he teaches this very simple parable of the unforgiving servant and his king. A man, a servant who owes more than 10,000 years of debt to a king, is eventually shown pity, mercy, really, and then he's given grace. The debt is forgiven, wiped out. The king is no doubt representing God, for the debt of our sin has piled up higher than what 10,000 years of labor could repay. And the last time I checked, no one gets that many years anyways. No one can pay God back for the debt of their own sin. It is impossible. And so we look to that King. We cling to that God who is merciful and gracious, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as the Old Testament teaches us. We cling to the mercy and the grace of this King, of our God. This mercy and grace which is evident and revealed to us in the person and the work of His only begotten Son, Jesus, who alone offered sufficient payment, being both true God and true man, to counter the debt of sin for all people, a payment that cost His whole life, as the eternal Son of God died after taking every last punishment meant for sinful mankind. This is the price of God's mercy, that you don't get the punishment that is due for your sin because Christ has done that for you. And yet there is more. Just like the King not only didn't punish the servant, but He forgave him. Not only is the punishment for your sins taken away from you, but the blood of Christ has been shed to make sure that your sins are forgiven, wiped away, taken away. That in the place of this debt, which you cannot repay, is now the treasure of Christ's righteousness given to you and received by faith. The debt that you owe to God is gone because of Jesus, and you now possess the riches of heaven. This is mercy and grace. This is pure gift on God's part for us, done for us solely by His great love and His great mercy, without any merit or worthiness on our part. But the rest of the parable is much harder for us to take in. But it relates to all that anger that we get so automatically. It relates to our general lack of thankfulness for the gifts that God gives. It relates to the forgiveness that God has given to us and what that means for others around us. 77 times, always forgive. Jesus does not add any qualifications here. Not for how bad the sin was, not for how much the sin hurt us, not for how great the offense was to us, none of that. Just forgive. As it was with paying back our own debt, it is also with this. With man, this is impossible, because we love our vengeance. It makes for a great idol because it makes us into little gods, dispensing judgment as we see fit. We love to hold on to our offenses and imagine, speak, and then enact the repayment of all the wrongs done to us upon those who did it. But this is sin. Whereas the flesh says, "Vengeance is mine," the flesh is robbing God of His own word. That we might couch our forgiveness in terms of forgiving but not forgetting, as if we reserve the right to some time down the road exact vengeance after offering fake forgiveness for all those years. While sins committed against us might not be able to be forgotten, that's just not how the human mind works. But we must remember that the devil and our sinful flesh love to bring all those past sins and offenses against us back up over and over again to stir us up to anger and vengeance over and over again. Something that without the constant remembrance of Jesus' teaching today on forgiveness, without constant vigilance and resolve to forgive again and again, This entertaining of all these vengeful thoughts is cancer to our souls. It destroys faith. It is not in line with God's word, because God's word teaches us that vengeance belongs to God. That simply put, it doesn't belong to you. It's not under your authority. To claim a right of vengeance is to both cast God aside and try to sit upon his throne all by your petty and bitter self, stealing away from God that which is something that is his and not yours. That the damage that is done to your soul by grudges and by unforgiveness is great, and this should make you flee to Jesus, remembering his mercy and his grace, his gifts to you with thankfulness, and praying to him that he would give you his spirit, the spirit which brings forgiveness and reminds us to forgive each and every single thing that has ever been done to you. This is the warning in the text today. The servant went out and he didn't show mercy. He didn't show grace to his debtor who only owed him a couple months of work. He had been forgiven 10,000 years, but he couldn't handle a couple months of debt from another person. The result then is that he finds himself in worse condition than at the first. And Jesus warns, so it will be for everyone who will not forgive his brother from his heart. If you choose to hold back forgiveness, know the damning that you are doing to yourself, that you are doing it to you. Jesus says so. It's not just some kind of opinion or advice. It's dead serious and eternally important that Jesus lived exactly what he taught while suffering unjustly at the hands of the Jewish authorities, the mob beneath him, and the Romans. Father, forgive them. That's part of the righteousness that he earns. It's part of the righteousness that he gives out to those who believe in him. That sinners would be forgiven and live lives full of the forgiveness that has come from God, which then flows out. It overflows out of their lives onto the people around them. Yes, even those who made them suffer unjustly, even those who wronged them, sin against them, brought great shame to them. Just like Jesus did. Forgive. In the face of anger, Jesus says, forgive. The Catechism teaches the same as Jesus, that because we have been forgiven, we too would sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. The root is always the forgiveness of God that he has given to us first. That the king forgave the servant who then showed ingratitude in not forgiving. And then by his own merciless and unforgiving life lost the very gift that the king had given. Our forgiveness from God is sure in Jesus. But should we fall into ingratitude? Should we fall into then unbelief? Not knowing just what God has done for us, or setting that aside, in a way forgetting about the debt that we owed, or the payment that he has made for us, then that comes out in our lives by having lack of mercy and not forgiving. Because at that point we've already cast God's gift aside, and we've taken up the work of vengeance upon ourselves again. That our forgiving others is a reflection of how we receive God's forgiveness. And if we don't forgive, we give evidence that we've rejected God's forgiveness already. And the last state of such a person is worse than the first. This text and this teaching is hard to hear. It's hard to hear because we live in a sinful world and we are sinned against daily, and we sin much daily. But we are to forgive without qualification, over and over again, even the worst stuff. That we are to realize that remembering offenses brings the temptation back to us once again to not forgive. And we should pray to God that He would give us this gift to realize what a great treasure this forgiveness has been for us. And then let that same treasure filter how we view others' sins against us, even and especially when they sin so heinously against you. This teaching is hard. But Jesus needed you to hear it today, that by His Spirit you would be moved to forgive others, others in your life. Yes, even those you have remembered during this sermon, even those who try to excuse, or you try to excuse your grudge, even those you're unforgiving towards based upon some qualifiers or justifications, how you try to make it right, that no. If the justification you want is that which avails before God in heaven, then you will realize that the great forgiveness that is yours in Christ Jesus, and what little thing it is, actually, to be called to forgive others by comparison. That our God has so freed you from your sins that you need not hold the sins of others against you, against them. It's a hard teaching, but it's a loving teaching from our loving Lord Jesus. He does not want anything to get in the way of eternal life. He does not want anything to rot away your faith. Not any sin, not any anger, not any ingratitude, not any unforgiveness. No, indeed, God grant you His Spirit, that you would be thankful for what God has done for you, and that you'd be forgiving, that you would grant your ears to hear this gracious word from His sweet gospel, and forgive those who have sinned against you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.